Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. I'm glad to have you back today. I want to continue on with our discussion about the slain in the spirit. Is it a biblical phenomenon that is still going on today, or is it was it ever a biblical phenomenon to start with? Is it just something that's a man-made thing? What exactly is it? And we talked about it yesterday a little bit. Want to continue on. I believe, just to preface a little bit, I believe that the slain in the spirit that goes on in today's world and in today's churches is by and large fake as far as being biblical. Now, I'm not saying that the people that happens to some of them that they might believe it's actually real, but I don't believe it's really of God. I think it's something that's an emotional thing. It's a phenomenon that man has built up to be more than something it's not. I guess I should say not more than, but something it's not. But when we look back in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New, but in the Old Testament, let's continue on and talk in Ezekiel 1:28 and 2:1. The prophet Ezekiel is overwhelmed by the vision he saw, and he falls forward in worship. Now, those who are holy fall forward in conscious submission to God's holy presence. And I think that's the difference between what happened in the Bible and what's happening today. I can tell you honestly that I believe without a doubt that if the Holy Spirit convicts me, or if all of a sudden I see a vision of Jesus, I'm going to fall on my knees or on my face and beg forgiveness for even being in His presence, because I'm not righteous like He is. He's God, and He's holy. I'm not. I don't care what these people say about you're now righteous and you're now holy because you're a son of Jesus, you know, that you've accepted salvation through Him and you've become holy. No, we're not holy. You know, we will become holy and righteous when we get to heaven. But on this earth, we're still people. Yeah, we're a new creature, but we're still a creature. We're still here, and we make mistakes and stuff in here. We're just people still, and we got a lot to learn about that. But, you know, I think that's a difference. And today, let's see, you know, they talked about it, you know, those who are holy fall forward in conscious submission to God's presence. They do not become dazed and confused as they do in these services today. The Holy Spirit services of today's church world, man, it's a confused mess with people screaming and yelling and running around and people laughing and falling all over the floor and falling all over each other. I mean, it's you have to see some of this stuff, and it's on film, folks. Listen to me. If you don't think so, you just go to YouTube and type in Slain in the Spirit videos and Holy Laughter and Benny Hinn Slain in the Spirit, stuff like that, and watch a few of these videos and you'll see exactly what I mean. Those who are enemies of God always fall backward when confronted with God's true power. That's throughout the Bible. Philippians 2 says every knee will bow. Those who are conscious of who they serve bow forward to the Lord, willingly and fully conscious of what they're doing. Those who fall backward and overwhelmed show a lack of submission and rebellion. So think about what this slain in the spirit really is all about. And this is not coming from somebody who's been a Methodist or a Baptist all their life or whatever. I was raised in the Methodist church for a number of years, and then later in life I became a Pentecostal and Assembly of God, and I'm independent now. Got away from the Assembly of God denomination, and for a reason. But anyway, Daniel in 10:4-11 encountered a powerful angel and said, "I had no strength." Daniel said, "I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless, and I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground." But Daniel fell on his face, and he fell forward. This was not without purpose, though. And he didn't fall backwards like a dead man. He did fall. He said he was helpless. He fell into a deep sleep. Well, this is not, like I said, without a purpose. There was a purpose for all of that at that particular time. Daniel was a prophet, and he was receiving revelation that would become scripture. Since in the Old Testament, those who were affected in this manner were not born again like we are today. We're born again through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit indwells in us now. But back then, it wasn't the same. They weren't indwelt with the Holy Ghost because Jesus hadn't come yet. So, you know, like I said, you know, since in the Old Testament, they were, you know, those who were affected in this manner were not born again. Indwelt permanently by the Holy Spirit like we are. When John saw Jesus glorified in heaven, Revelation 1:17, he declares that, "I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last.'" John was overcome with fear. He did not recognize Jesus, he did not recognize him as the Jesus that he knew on earth. Well, that's right, because it scared him half to death when he saw this. He actually saw the transfigured body of Jesus, not the Jesus he had known, and it scared him half to death. Is what I believe that scripture is referring to. And also you can talk about Saul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. A lot of Pentecostals say that's one of the examples of being explained. You know, that's how they justify being slain in the spirit, is using Saul. Who became Paul as an example. Well, it's a pretty sad example, because the guy who got slain on the Damascus Road was Saul. He was not a Christian. He was a persecutor of Christians, and he was on his way to kill more Christians. He wasn't even a follower of Christ. And he didn't become a follower instantly. Now listen to a little bit about this. Those who promote the slain in the spirit phenomenon cite Saul's encounter with the appearance of the Lord on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, 3, and 4 for biblical support, like I explained. Well, Saul was an unbeliever on his way to his next extermination of Christians. He was knocked to the ground by a light, which was the Shekinah glory of God, and he had a revelation of Christ. Well, when Saul fell, no one touched him, and there was no one there to catch him like there is in today's realm. The scripture doesn't actually say how he fell now again, but the Greek language seems to indicate that he went to the ground on his own volition. It wasn't like somebody touched him and pushed him like they do today and all those kind of things. Jesus does not appear to be the source of Paul's falling to the ground either. Jesus did not allow Paul to remain on the ground either. He told him to arise and go into Damascus. Remember, Saul was unsaved. Like I said, he was unsaved at this time. So this certainly does not provide any justification for regarding it as a model for believers to practice today. When's the last time you saw somebody slain in the spirit who was not a believer? He was consciously carrying on a conversation with the Lord. In Acts 26:14, Paul recalled the event. And he states, "All who were with him saw the light and fell to the ground out of fear." Sure they did. But only Saul at the time, heard the voice. Only he heard the voice in Acts 22:9. So this was an extreme measure designed to get Paul's attention, as he was on his way to kill Christians. And that's why he got his attention. The others with Paul who also fell were unbelievers. But they stayed in their unbelieving state. They never accepted Christ or anything. They stayed in that state. So this incident involving falling to the ground, being slain in the spirit, certainly cannot be used to support the idea that it's scriptural blessing, that it's a spiritual blessing. It's just not, you know, they try to say it's common today, that same deal, but it's not. And other examples from either the Old Testament or the New Testament, men affected did not have a permanent indwelling with the Spirit. When soldiers came to arrest Jesus in John 18:4-6, he reveals his power in a unique way. He identified himself to the soldiers who were arresting him, and they drew back and fell to the ground. Jesus first revealed himself by saying his divine name, "I am," making it clear who it is that they came for. When he identified himself to them, they fell to the ground in judgment. The pagan sinners did fall backwards. You see, there's a difference. They were pagans. They were sinners. They recognized the judgment upon them, and they fell backwards in fear. They didn't experience revelation or receive a special anointing or conversion. They got right back up and arrested Jesus. There was no change in them, see? They still enemies of Jesus. They still were. Also, none of Jesus' followers fell down during the arrest. Certainly none of this represents a pattern for the church. Those who practice the rightful ritual of being slain in the spirit today deny and also ignore the biblical facts. And they do it because they want in order to embrace an experience that's not endorsed in the whole New Testament. It's just not there. I'm sorry, but it's not there. Mike Oppenheimer somewhere I was reading. Oh, there it is. He said this is even stated in the Dictionary of Pentecostal and Charismatic Movements. There is no mention of the Spirit here, John 18, 1-6. And John portrays no relationship between Spirit and power and Jesus. The text remains enigmatic, especially since John offers neither explanation for nor effect of their fall. So see, those who are in rebellion to God seem to fall backward in Scripture. Those who believed and followed God and accepted God, they fell forward onto their knees, some of them onto their face, in reverence and also in fear of the Lord, like they should have. A different type of fear than what the ones who fell backwards in fear. But that's the difference. You know, it's just, you can't use one or two little bitty things out of the Bible and claim that this is all what it's all about. It just don't work. You know, the power is supposed to get people up, not put them down and out. At the gate, beautiful Peter said to the blind man, "Silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Most of these new anointed dispensers of power can't say the same because silver and gold they got abundantly. They got tons of that, these new preachers do. They don't have the power of God, though. The power of God got people up. Those who were thrown to the ground shaking and having convulsions were not possessed by the Holy Spirit, but often demon-possessed in need of a deliverance from the Holy Spirit and God. They're not reacting from receiving God's power. They were in need of God's power for it to stop. See the difference? Man, oh man. Man, it just amazes me the difference between what people can think. Many people travel these crusades all over the country to get an anointing from the anointed mediator who dispenses it. In other words, these people travel all the way across the country sometimes to go see one of these preachers in a crusade in today's world just to get an anointing from that guy, thinking that he's somebody special. What's the purpose? Tell me that's what I do. One thing I've always asked, what's the purpose of someone being knocked to the floor and they're picked up and the whole procedure is repeated up to 7 or 8 times? You know, that's happened. It's happened before. It's happened with Benny Hinn talking about it, matter of fact. And he even went on to say that he was doing it in the natural. How could he slay somebody in the spirit in the natural? Not even being in the spirit himself. Come on. What's it take, people, to get you to wake up? I don't get, you know, when you knock somebody down 7 or 8 times and supposedly slay him in the spirit, wasn't once enough? Does God have to continually strike somebody over and over and over again before it's enough? What do you folks believing in nowadays? Anything and everything? I think that's exactly what's happening. And that's a sad phenomenon that's going on in this world. Everything's happening. Listen, continue tomorrow. See you then. God bless you. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do. And we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.